Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Ryan Sandberg quits on his team.
That sounds harsh. Accurate, but harsh.
Well, he stepped down today, and Pete McKinnon's going to be the interim manager. He'll at least take care of the weekend series. The part about this that, look, I think everyone expected that next season Ryan Sandberg would not be the manager. That's why, to me, this is not earth-shattering. Hey, it's not earth-shattering to me in that, oh, my God, you know, it's breaking news in that any coach or manager in the major sports fired or stepped down is a big story. Everyone knows the Phillies need to go in a completely different direction. And anyone with common sense knows that he's not going to be the manager next year. And sometimes you look at a situation, you say, you know, the person that really has been my greatest ally, what are the odds that my greatest ally will be here next year to protect my job here? He's smart enough to see that they're going to change the whole thing. They have to. No one has done a greater downward spiral since 2008 than the Phillies. World Series win in 8. In the World Series in 9. Okay, World Series loser in 9. Nationally Championship Series loser in 10. Okay, Division Series loser in 11. Out of it in 12. Spiraling down in 13. Headed toward the abyss in 14. Have reached the abyss in 15. They've done nothing but, since the World Series win, take one step down each year, and they continue to take a step down. And he knows it. And Ryan Sandberg, I'm sure, looked around and said, my protector or whomever isn't going to be right. They have to change the direction of the whole thing, because the direction they're going in, any business looks at this and sits back and goes, okay, wait a minute, we got some issues here. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Okay. I was about ready to head over and get some beverages and a pickleball.
You tell them I said hi when you do that, all right?
Okay, well, I got three quick things for you.
Okay.
Now, we'll start with my basketball team. Had a pretty good draft last night. The guys from the coast.
Oh, the Lakers.
Yeah.
They did very well. D'Angelo Russell was absolutely the right guy to pick. I think that's huge. I thought Larry Nance Jr. was also a good pick as well. I liked him at Rhode Island. He's overcome a lot to get there. You can talk about the pedigree of his dad, but he's overcome illness to get himself in this spot. And when I watched him play at Wyoming, I liked him very much.
I'd rather go with Aldridge as opposed to that Cousins deal with the...
I agree. LaMarcus Aldridge is a far superior player to Boogie Cousins.
And the second thing is, well, I only had the one thing, but then with what the coach in Michigan's doing.
Right.
That is baloney.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. And I think that's one of the reasons why you see so many problems right now between student athletes and the NCAA, is that guys like him come in and pull this stuff as if it's a pro franchise. You can't do that.
And the third thing is Kevin's baseball team, a.k.a. the front office. Every time you had those, when they had Ruben Amara Jr. on, and somebody would ask him a tough question, he'd cite that. Well, sooner or later, you can sidestep all you want. But, I think they're going to go up, clear up the food chain, maybe, and start there and start cleaning house.
Completely agree with you, Dave, on that. And, again, as I outlined, They won it all in eight, and they've taken one step back in each year since. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and where they are now at 351 baseball. They have gone one step down the ladder in each of the years, and he hasn't stemmed the tide. And I don't, you know, Ryan Sandberg may do some things that are baffling. His communication skills may not be the greatest, but he's not the overall problem here.
No, and I got one question for you. Just speculation. Is there any coaches in that staff that would be possible, like an interim, to work into the head man?
Pete McCannon will be the interim manager, but at the end of the year, you'll see the Phillies go. They'll have whomever pick somebody else that is not on the current staff.
Okay,
that would be my opinion. That'd be my opinion.
Yeah, I you know,
which they were going to do anyway.
Yeah, well that. The ex-shortstop, Lopes?
What, Davey Lopes?
Yeah.
Davey Lopes has had
a good coach, but I don't think he's managerial, to be honest. I don't think he's, you know, to be the guy calling the shots.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. No, we'll find out in a couple of weeks when McPhail takes over, because that seems to be a foregone conclusion right now.
Yeah, well, I said... I didn't have any problem with Ruben Amaro, but when he started the last 2 years, whenever on Friday night somebody would call in and ask him a question, and it became a tough one, he started songing and dancing and moving, you know. I said, that pretty well. And I'm not even a Philly fan. But I said, say,
well,
when a guy
I can't
ask you a question, give him an honest answer.
Well, I can't say anything because, according to Ruben Amaro, I don't know anything about baseball and how it really works. So I shouldn't comment.
That's the kind of stuff he'd say to people.
Kevin,
I'll hang up and listen.
Kevin.
Are you going to don't say he's right. Don't say he's right.
Kevin, even in Little League, you're a morale coach. By your own admission.
Hey, stay in your wheelhouse.
Like I say, Dave, I'll head for Brewer's Outlet.
Go for it. Have a pickle for me.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. All right, Joey Gallino is from YahooSports.com. World Cup tonight on Fox over the year. United States against China. Joey, welcome. It is great to have you on board with us.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Women's World Cup, United States takes on China. A lot of people have talked about this run to the quarterfinals as, yes, they're there, but they're not enthralled with what they're seeing. Why? Is it because the game itself has changed a little bit? Have some philosophies changed? Or are there other reasons?
I think that's a big part of it. The women's game, obviously, is a lot younger than the men's game. And the truth is that while the United States has always had a good amount of talent, you know, the first couple World Cups that we won, we kind of won it, the United States, that is, that because we had more talent than the other teams. But it was also a little bit less of – it was a little more direct. There wasn't as much skill as involved, and I don't say that to denigrate the women who played back then. They definitely had their fair share of technical ability, but, you know, the truth is a lot of the teams that are playing today have a much better understanding of the passing and the intricacies of the game. And the United States, meanwhile, kind of has the same straightforward approach. And because of that, you know, the team has gotten to the quarterfinals, but it hasn't really looked that impressive. And I think that's why they've gotten a lot of criticism.
Abby Wambach has been the face of this for a long time. But Alex Morgan finally is back in the starting lineup. What has her presence meant, Joey?
It's been good. You know, she's been battling a knee injury. She's definitely one of the more dynamic players in the world and arguably the best striker. And while everyone, you know, appreciates what Abby Wambach has meant to the United States, the truth is she's 35. She's lost a step. She's really kind of she's really good in the air. And she brings a veteran presence, but you know, the attack is a little more diverse with Alex Morgan up top. And she obviously had a nice goal against Columbia that opened the scoring. And Penn State's own Allie Krieger kind of created the chance.
Yes.
By playing her through with a great through ball. But, you know, obviously someone of Alex Morgan's ability was able to finish it off. And I don't know, you know, the U.S. kind of, it seems like we're lacking that in the other games. And Morgan definitely brings an added dimension.
You mentioned Allie Krieger, and fans here loved watching her for years and could see she was a cut above. What has she meant to U.S. soccer in her role?
Oh, she's been terrific. You know, I actually, I covered her back when I was at Penn State.
Yeah.
In the mid-2000s, and she, you know, she's very nice. She's very versatile. She plays, you know, outside back on the defense, but she's able to, you know, get up and down the field. She's an offensive threat as well as a good defender. And her being back there, I think, you know, the back line to the U.S. this World Cup has been fantastic, not just because they've been done a good job of denying other teams' goals, but they've also been able to contribute in the attack. You know, Julie Johnston is a converted midfielder who's playing back there, and she's dangerous in the box. Allie Krieger, like I said, is a good passer, and she's able to kind of race up and down the wing. So she's really kind of brought, like, an extra dimension for the U.S. team that, you know, I don't know if someone else would have been able to do.
Joey, let's address Hope Solo for a moment. Obviously, there's been a lot of controversy that has swirled around her. We know she's the United States' number one goalkeeper. Did they really have any other realistic options, issues off the table for a moment?
Well, the thing is, you know, and Penn Staters will know the name, Alyssa Nair. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I could be pronouncing that wrong.
Yep.
If I do, I apologize. She's one of the backup goalkeepers who made the team. But the truth is, you know, Hope Solo has been the best keeper that we've had for, you know, almost a decade.
Right.
And she, you know, you've seen it in this tournament. She's made some outstanding saves. And I understand that the issues off the field are very serious and cannot be taken lightly. And there is definitely a question of whether or not, you know, just ethically speaking, she should have been able to come and play for the team. But I don't know if there was another, there's obviously not a better option. And, you know, it's always, it's kind of a gray line. Should she have played? Should she have not played?
Right.
I would say she was the best option, but there's definitely a conversation to be had about whether or not she should even be suiting up.
Yeah, fair enough. Men's soccer over the years has been one like, yeah, we'll send in an attacker. Women's on the collegiate level, women's soccer, I mean, they'll fly three attackers in and go at you. It's a far more offensive-minded game. I mentioned in the initial question about have styles changed. Let's bring up China for a moment. Does China really play the game more in a men's style defensively?
Yeah, that's you know, it's interesting that you bring that up. What they do defensively, they almost play without two outside backs. They have them, but the defense is so centered that they really kind of concede the wings to other teams and let them play that way. The thing about China is that they're very technically gifted. They're kind of what we talked about in the first question. They're, you know, a really forward, I don't want to say thinking, but they're definitely kind of emblematic of the new state of the game.
Right.
And they're very, technical. They're very quick. They're very precise. They're very skilled. And the United States, it's kind of ironic, they're going to have to play the best chance to win against a team like China that does play, you know, try to pass around you and, you know, kind of gums things up through the middle and makes you play from the outside. The style that the United States has been playing that everyone has been hating on, the more direct one where you play to the outside and kind of cross into the box, might be the best way to break down this China team.
We're with Joey Galino, YahooSports.com, lead soccer writer, columnist. And Joey, when you look at this tournament, the Men's World Cup is always played on grass. If it means laying trays of grass over an artificial surface, they will. This entire tournament is being played on field turf. Has it had any effect on the level of play for anybody?
I think that at this level, you know, the skill and the quality of the players is always going to be there, but it does have an impact on, you know, just this week, Abby Wambach was saying that when she headed, you know, the ball down in previous games, the keeper would be on all over it, whereas if it was on grass, the bounce would be a little more unpredictable. So, you know, there's things like that, and obviously there's the whole there's a debate about, you know, how good is it for the players to be playing on this surface and kind of, you know, like what it does to their knees and appendages and things like that. So I think, you know, the quality of play is going to be different. It's still going to be high level because these are great players, but there's definitely a difference with the way the ball bounces. You know, I would say that it obviously travels faster, on this turf than regular grass. So it definitely has had, it's changed the quality of play, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and that, which now brings us to the dirty little secret about the tournament that they really don't want to address, and that's the fact that Canada is the only one that bid for the tournament. Zimbabwe was in briefly, and then pulled out. Canada was the only one that essentially bid. How surprising is that only one nation would bid for it at this particular time when you would sense that the tournament should be growing?
You know, that's a great question. You know, I obviously don't want to speculate, and I don't know this for sure, but with all what's going on with the corruption and all that in FIFA, you wonder if maybe Canada, you know, played the game, so to speak, and other countries knew, well, we don't have a shot to get this in 2015, because you're right, the game is growing, and you would think that other countries would want to jump in and be a part of it. It's very surprising, I'll say that. And the facilities, obviously, you know, Canada is a country that obviously has a lot of different sporting venues, but yeah, the question is this really the best place to play these matches? And it just, you know, again, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to say that they bought this or anything like that.
Of course not.
But
no,
you do think, you know, like you look at what's going on with like the awarding of the men's bid to Qatar, or Qatar, how you pronounce it, and you know how ill-equipped they are, and you know the questions about Canada and how equipped they are, and it kind of makes you wonder. Without knowing any specifics, it definitely makes you wonder.
They're playing in CFL stadiums for the most part. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're playing in CFL stadiums, and every CFL stadium now is field turf. Yeah, you know, for obvious reasons. It's not exactly the grass growing capital of the world.
Right.
I mean, that is a slight problem. The growing season is not that long in Edmonton.
Right.
So I mean, that's the issue. Let's get back to tonight. All right. How do you envision how things in the first half play out? Because the second half will then be dictated as to how the first half plays out. What are some things you'll be watching for tonight that will indicate a swing one way or the other?
Well, obviously, one of the big stories going in the match is that Lauren Holliday and Megan Rapinoe are going to miss the match.
Right. That's going to get to that. Yep.
Simulation.
How do you replace that? I mean, they have each one of them, I think, what, got two yellow cards, and that's because that's why they're out tonight. So how do you replace that, and what does that then do to a second half sub rotation, anything you want to do?
The biggest glaring statistic there is that I believe the numbers are those two themselves have generated 18 scoring chances through the first four games of the tournament in the United States, and the rest of the team combined has generated 19. And it's because, you know, Rapinoe is the most dangerous wing player that we have at the moment. She's got a good shot from distance. She's really good crossing the ball, getting up and down the flanks. Lauren Holliday has been playing central midfielder, but she's been a little more attack-minded, and she plays kind of that number 10 role right behind the main striker, if you will, and she also is the one who takes the free kicks and the corner kicks. So, you know, obviously that figures into the numbers. But the truth is, you know, those two, they're not irreplaceable. They're very good.
Yeah.
What we can do is slot Morgan Bryan, the 22-year-old from Virginia, into the center midfield and let Carly Lloyd, the other central midfielder, kind of go forward a little bit more. We can, you know, there's tweaks here and there that can be done to the roster. You can have, obviously, Kristen Press. She can play on the outside and hopefully, you know, get some service into the box. You can maybe put Tobin Heath a little bit deeper in the attack and let her be more of a playmaker. You know, obviously, there's questions, should Abby Wambach start or not? But, you know, there's no real straight switch for those two. So there are strategies that we can use, which I alluded to, but you know, none of them are really going to be as good as having those two in there.
And no question. And by the way, Carly Lloyd is the one that scored on the PK the other night against Colombia. And
Now back to the question about how does it need to play out in the first half. What are you going to be watching for in the first half that will then dictate the second half?
Well, you know, I hate to be a little bit pessimistic, but, you know, we've seen it through the first three matches or through the first four matches. The U.S. doesn't exactly get off the fast start, so I wouldn't be surprised if China kind of does what they do and they squeeze the center of the pitch and sort of make you beat them from the outside. You know, unless Wambach's in there, it's hard to see the U.S. doing that in the first half. So I bet it's going to be 0-0 again. And obviously without Holiday and Rapinoe, it makes it tougher. Then in the second half, you know, you start to look, and that'll be interesting to see what substitutions are made. It'll be interesting to see, you know, who starts, period. Like I said, there's some options out there. But I do think it'll be a scoreless first half again. I just have to go by the numbers.
In the final eight, who do you consider the favorites to be in the final eight?
That's what's funny. You know, the Germany and France are very good. They're very technically gifted. They are kind of, you know, a modern indication of the game. They're players from, you know, the interesting thing is the United States had a lot of talent, but we don't really have a soccer culture yet. We're still developing that.
Right.
You know, France and Germany do have a soccer culture, and it only, you know, once they've had a couple generations of players to develop that talent, they become, you know, they become very intricate passing wise. They're very smart. They're tough minded teams, but they're, you know, they're in really good shape. They can play a lot of different ways. So those two are going to be formidable. But, you know, to be honest, I still have to say the United States is a favorite because of the sheer talent that this nation has. And because, you know, the opposite side, as you know, always is when the team's not doing well, but still winning games, you know, everyone's like doom and gloom, but the opposite side of that is, well, what happens when they start playing well, you
right.
know? So I still say the United States slightly.
One final question, and that goes back to level of play. Obviously, this is a team, they've been, so many of them have been together for such a long time. Are you surprised that at moments they don't seem cohesive?
Very. You know, that's something that has drawn the criticism, or drawn the ire, I should say, of Michelle Akers and other players from the past. They, you know, this team, it has a lot of young talent, but it is, like you said, talent that's been together for a number of years. And part of that, I think, is the approach. You know, the, again, the kind of direct boom ball, as they say, approach, where you just kick it deep, hope something good happens. There's not a lot of flow or strategy to the team, and that kind of makes it seem like they don't know what they're doing, and it kind of makes it seem like they haven't played together. But, you know, I think that's what you have to chalk it up to, because there's too much talent on the team. There's too much familiarity to really, you know, give the account of themselves that they've had. And so hopefully we see a better U.S. team tonight.
And obviously Holiday and Rapinoe will be out. And when it comes to touches in the cup, Holiday's number one in touches, Rapinoe's number two. Chances created, Rapinoe's number one, Holiday's number two. All right?
Comp
passes first and fifth.
Germany and France at this point, I'd say.
Yep. Hey, Joey, thanks so much. Great insight. I think everyone will really appreciate it, and I think they'll have a better time watching this matchup between the U.S. and China because of what you told them. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, and Joey Gallino from Yahoo Sports, spot of the hour. Time for the news coming up. Then we'll get back to the earth-shattering story that the 351 playing Philadelphia Phillies have their manager resign.
Sandberg today, Rubin tomorrow.
I'll be back with the head of TMZ Sports in just a few moments.
That might be a promotion, actually. I like that idea.
Several of us do.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, I think the quote of the day comes from Ryan Sandberg, which we'll get to in a moment. Law enforcement sources now tell CBS News that one of the two convicts who escaped from a New York prison nearly 3 weeks ago has been shot. Fox News is reporting he's been shot and killed. That would be Richard Matt. So one of the two individuals that escaped from the prison in Plattsburgh evidently has been shot. One report says he may have been killed. No word on the other one. Where this happened, I don't know. The last place they were looking was an area called Malone, New York.
Yeah, that's exactly where it is, Steve. It's reportedly in the area of Malone, New York.
All right. So we just want to pass that along to you. There's been a lot of talk that they had been near the Pennsylvania border at one stage. Anything else we will have that we get, we'll get to you as quickly as possible on that. And so that's what we have at the moment. Ryan Sandberg, the quote of the day from him was that his style of leadership just did, he could tell it was ineffective. And I've talked about the Cody Ashe thing, and it really bothered me in the fact that after a game, oh, we're sending you the minors, we're going to teach you how to play the outfield. That's how you don't do that with athletes now, okay? It's all different. Ryan Sandberg said the team never seemed to respond to the style of leadership. There were issues that arose in each of the last 2 years in which players seemed to be almost openly disrespecting him and the coaching staff. I mean, do you think they – I mean, look, the breaking point to me, the two parts, were A, how Ashe was held, and the bullpen phone. As comical as we may think the bullpen phone is as a story, it's emblematic of a total problem that's going on with the franchise. You expect your professional franchises to be professional. That's what you expect. Andy McPhail's going to take over. It is obvious based on what we've seen, the pattern. 2008, win World Series, pinnacle. 2009, lose World Series. No need to be upset about that. Getting the World Series is an incredible accomplishment. But see, now what happens is the pattern of a step down each year. Win it. Hard to do. They did it. Awesome moment. 9, lose the World Series. Okay. No disgrace, but a step down. Lose National League Championship Series. Again, no disgrace, but it is a step down. Lose National League Division Series. Now fans are getting a little concerned what's going on here because that's another step down. then out of playoffs, then get worse, then get under 500. Now you're 351 baseball. So that's the story. And Sandberg, he steps down in all of this. Back to the story about Richard Matt. Law enforcement sources tell CBS News that Richard Matt was shot this afternoon in Malone, New York, about 40 miles away from the prison. Details of his condition not immediately available. The source said officers were still pursuing David Sweat, who broke out of the Clinton Correctional Facility in Danmore, New York, along with Matt on June 6th. The duo allegedly tried to carjack a camper before the afternoon. See, that's the key right there. And I was talking to the other night about this with some friends. They said, how can they possibly stay on the lam like this for such a long period of time? And I said, here's the key. I said, there have been no reports of anything being stolen. There have been no reports of, so they've been kind of staying out of the way, and they haven't stolen a car. They haven't, that they've stayed away from breaking a law along the way that then opens the door to be caught. Well, now they do this, and they're trying to carjack a camper. Finally, desperation set in. Okay, so now back to Ryan Sandberg. It is obvious to anybody that in the pattern I just described, and we can go through all the various reasons why and so forth, but the pattern is the pattern. And that's something Ruben Amaro can't explain away. How do you go from 2008 at the top of the baseball world and 7 years later be at the bottom of the baseball world? And it's been a steady decline to get here. It has not been all of a sudden like, boom, blew the team up. This is what we have. That's why I took you year by year as to what's happened. A step back, 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 and a step back, and suddenly you're at the bottom. And they are at the bottom of baseball right now at 351. And Richard Matt, according to Fox News, has been shot and killed. The source has confirmed that to Fox News and is being reported on our sister station, WMLP. Sweat is still, at the moment, not in custody. We'll continue to update that for you. But I outlined all the steps back that the Phillies have taken. Now, this isn't Ryan Sandberg's fault. Please, don't, let's not, you know, a different management style is needed compared to the style he has for the team he has. But all the steps back were all in gear before he took the job. I mean, let's understand that. And he's getting out while he can get out. I would have kept going, but that's me. That's just my nature. But it's obvious they're going to have a total, complete makeover as to what they're doing. And that's about to happen. I think Andy McPhail takes over in, what, 2 weeks, Kevin? Does that sound right? 2 weeks he takes over? And when Dave Montgomery stepped down as the president, or was forced out, essentially forced out, you knew this day was going to be coming. They can't keep going where they're going with this. Because the Phillies are not just bad, they're awful. Brian in Elysburg joins us. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Steve. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Brian, how are you?
Okay. Hey, I called about the Philly situation. You remember a few years ago when the Mets had all these high-priced players, Bonilla, Jason Bay, and all them? You know what they did?
Yep,
they got rid of them, and then they cleaned house out, right? The Phillies should do the same exact thing with Howard, Utley, and Ruiz, the catcher, but trade the Hamels, at least get something for them. And they should clean the whole coaching staff out. That's what they should do, in my opinion.
Brian, I completely agree with you. They need to move out as many salaries as possible, get what they can get for them because they're going absolutely nowhere with them. You need to get a new management team in there and then allow that new management team to then put the field manager in place that is their selection. I think they have to really start fresh. They have to start fresh what they have now, and holding anybody over outside of Pat Gillick from what you have now is not the direction to go in.
That's right. That's right. They got to clean all the coaches out. Nobody affiliated with the Phillies in the old past. They don't need that. They need somebody new. You know, I'm a Mets fan, and hey, they're right there. But the Mets got to do something too because you know they're not going to fire Collins, but they got to get a few players back. But I don't know. It might come down to the wire, but I really think the Pirates have the best chance to probably make the wild card. It might be between the Pirates and the Giants this year, but we'll see what happens, Steve.
Pirates, Giants, or Cubs. Do not cut the Cubs out of this. The Cubs right now, actually, if they were to play today, the Cubs and the Pirates would be the two wild card teams.
That's right. That's right. So, hey, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I'm the big Penn State dude. And, you know, I'll call you before the season starts. Don't worry.
I look forward to that, Brian, very much.
Yeah, you got it. You better believe it. And it's nice to see they're getting some more recruits in. That's good. And like you said the other day, it's going to take a while, but they'll get their act together. I know they will.
But you know what, Brian? Here's the week Penn State had. Penn State's week. They had several verbal commitments.
Yep.
The freshmen are reporting this weekend for the upcoming season. For the upcoming season. Jim Haslett was hired as a Jim Haslett was hired as a consultant. Huge.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that when that happened. That made me get goosebumps.
And all 21,000 to 22,000 student tickets were sold out within minutes over a 4-day period. It was a great week for the football program.
I know, and you better believe it. And I know they're going to surprise a few people this year. I know they really think they're going to. But you know, anything can happen. The main thing, as we say in all sports, is injuries. That's the problem. You know, if you get hurt, look at the Mets. Look at the Mets. Yeah. Look at the Red Sox this year. Yankees, people are hurt. They're not in first place, you know. That's right. And so, but hey, hopefully I'm going to be at the Army game. You'll see you then. But, you know, I'll talk to you before the season starts.
I look forward to it as always, Brian. Thank you for your call.
You got it, buddy. God bless you. And take care, Kevin. And keep rooting for those Steelers. They need a lot of help.
As long as they're not wearing those unis, Brian, I'm okay.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Take care, bud.
800-795-9565. So, Kevin, I mean, the pattern I outlined shows, I mean, Ryan Sandberg is just, he is just, he knew that he was just going to be part of the out with the old and in with the new, and he knew that.
The writing on the wall, that's the adage I was looking for earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, he knew it. The pattern has been established by people above him, but he probably didn't handle it right either. That's how you lose respect in the clubhouse. We'll wrap it up. More of your calls at 800-795-9565 here on News Radio 1070 WK. Just so people realize, there were reports earlier this week about Matt and Sweat being near the Pennsylvania border. Malone, New York, is right near the Canadian border. So, Ken in Milton, thanks for waiting, Ken. Appreciate it.
Hey, happy Friday, fellas. I realize we're a little short on time, so I'll make this quick and sweet, and I'll go ahead and hang up and let you answer. Now, if you touched on this earlier in the show, I apologize. I hadn't heard the entire show, but this hiring of Haslett as a consultant, I know what a consultant is, okay, but what exactly, what's that all about? What's that mean, and what are his job responsibilities in the scope of Penn State football? I'm just a little miffed. I'm a little confused as to exactly what this hire is all about. Now, I'll go ahead and hang up and let you answer, but have a great weekend, fellas.
Thank you, Ken. All right, let me tell you basically what he can't do. What he can't do is he cannot be physically on the field coaching, so he can't coach the players. He cannot call plays, and he's not supposed to be involved in the game planning. What he does do is he observes in practice, and also observes operation of game and so forth. And he'll sit down and say, look, I think you're going in the right direction here. I think you're going in the right direction there. You may want to tweak that drill. You may want to tweak that drill. You know, we kind of did it this way in the NFL, and we thought it worked really well when you tried this. And they'll go to him and say, look, am I going the right direction here? Am I going the right direction there? It just gives you another set of experienced eyes that allows the coaches to bounce ideas off of and vice versa. So there's a series of things he can't do, but there are a lot of things he'll be able to do that the coaches can talk to him as an experienced, been around the block, and someone who can look at the entire operation and tell them as they go, okay, are we going the right direction here? Are we going the right direction there? Is there a better way to do this drill? Is there a better way to handle this sequence? That's what he does. And you can have, you can literally, you are allowed to have as many consultants as possible. They just are not actual coaches. I know, Kevin, you had to turn in your vehicle this week to our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
Yeah, I had to turn in the Value Edition 2016 Hyundai Elantra. And if you're thinking Value Edition just means it has basic bare bones, you are absolutely wrong. With the backup camera, push button start, keyless entry, the sunroof, and the blind spot mirror, along with heated seats, you get a lot of great options. And then they take on the sticker and write the price of the options, and then they put a minus right below it because they take those prices right off the sticker. This vehicle right now with the discounts that Sunbury Motors offers is under $18,000, and I know there's only two or three left. So this weekend, make a trip to Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury, and check out the Hyundai Elantra Value Edition, brand new for 2016 and just off the truck and, well, just returned to Sunbury Motors, as a matter of fact.
All right. And, of course, keep in mind, Friday's show is always brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Really well set up, plenty of help as well, plenty of great free parking for you on top of it. And also they have snacks, soft drinks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. They're right there at the register. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So Ryan Sandberg was very emotional today when he stepped down as the manager of the Phillies. It has to be obvious to anybody, no matter how hard you work. And you can, you know, Ryan Sandberg worked hard. I mean, he is a devoted baseball man. He's a hard worker, dedicated. But sometimes you end up treading water, and your management style may be perfect someplace else, but isn't right for where you are at the moment. And this style didn't mesh, and he could tell it didn't mesh with the current group in the clubhouse. But management style is not why this team is playing 351 baseball. The product he was given is the reason why they're playing 351 baseball. That's why across the board you'll see changes for the Phillies. He saw the writing on the wall. He decided that it was his time to get out. Women's World Cup tonight, United States, China, quarterfinals. It's on Over the Air Fox this evening. Max Scherzer pitches against the Phillies, led by Pete McCannon tonight. And the NHL entry draft, Connor McDavid number one to Edmonton tonight. One of the once in a lifetime prodigies. Have a great weekend.